Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Hanson Gress, delivering IT support to local businesses for over 15 years. I'm your host today, Shelley Delaney, and my first guests are here to talk about a new opera opening this week. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called The Princess Sophia, and we've only been talking about it all year. The premiere is finally almost here. Are you guys ready?
Yeah, I think so.
Good. Here with me in the studio are Jim Samar, Dan Fruits, and Greg Mitchell. Yesterday, Scott Burton spoke with Genevieve and Haley about the opera's choreography, and today we're going to talk with these fellows about the scenic elements of the opera. So I just want to check in with each of you for introductions, starting with Jim. Jim, you are retired now, but you were the head librarian at the Alaska Historical Library. Is that where your interest in the Princess Sophia began?
Well, it's where a lot of my knowledge about the event began. The state library holds a lot of primary documents from the day, diaries, and a significant photograph collection of Winter and Pond's photographs of the event.
And what is your role in this opera?
I'm a scenic and light designer, but I'm the technical director as well, trying to bring together the set and all of these elements.
And Dan Fruits, what about you? Tell us a bit about your background and your role in this production.
Okay, I've been in Juno since the early 90s. I have been a painter all my life, an artist all my life. I got interested in the Sophia in 92, 93. I found a little pamphlet in the library on the subject that led me to Coates and Morrison's book. And then David Hunsaker and I did a show at the Voices stage, the last one, and it was on the Sophia. I did several paintings, and we put together a script and had readers. And I've been interested in the Sophia for like 25 years now. And that's partly why I was asked to create paintings for the production for the opera.
So the paintings you created, and we'll talk more about this later in the interview, but did the paintings come first, or did the request for your to be a part of the opera come first?
To be a part of the opera came first.
And so then, as you were painting, they were always meant to be part of the set?
Yeah, I intended them to be not illustrations, to be original artworks that stand on their own, but to cover the whole time period of the Sophia.
And Greg Mitchell, last but not least, is currently FaceTiming this interview to his class at UC Santa Barbara. Hello, UC Santa Barbara. Greg, tell us about yourself. What made you want to be a part of this?
Well, it's a pretty amazing story. I had heard about it from Todd Hunt, who is the conductor and the artistic director of the Orpheus Project. He told me about it years ago when I was working at a production at Perseverance, and I said, I would love to be a part of that somehow. And so a few years ago, he called me and said, you know, we need a large projection element. He described what Dan was doing with the paintings and asked me if I wanted to be involved, and I jumped at the opportunity.
So this opera has been years in the making.
Yes.
You started talking about it a few years ago. Dan, when did you start working on your paintings?
Almost exactly a year ago, in September last year, and I haven't worked on anything else since.
All-consuming, I imagine.
Up an entire year.
So the three of you worked together to set the stage and the atmosphere for the show. I'm sure everyone is wondering how the shipwreck itself and then the subsequent sinking would be depicted on stage. So what were some of the conversations like when you first started brainstorming about this?
Well, I don't know that in this case you have to depict a ship sinking in a technical, scenic way because Dan has done all the heavy lifting for us. A lot of the visual work we're doing, and I don't know that we've really even had a conversation about this specifically, all of that is in the paintings. And so a lot of our work has been to support Dan's the incredible paintings Dan has done and then to take them and make them work with the music to establish what's going on throughout the timeline of the story. But the actual sinking itself is something that he's captured with paint and brush.
Go ahead, Dan.
I kind of like to butt in is that I had total free range in what I did about how I chose to interpret each subject. But then David told me that some hotshot projectionist from L.A. was
That's
going.
That's you, Greg.
So I turned my work over to him, and he, too, is an artist. What he does with it is interpretive. And I was thrilled with the results, but a great deal, a lot of credit.
Interestingly, for this opera, I feel like the thing that's unique about this piece of work is that this tragic story is actually told three different times in three different media in this environment, through Dan's paintings, which are very illustrative. They follow the whole arc of the story, and then through the text, Dave Hunsaker's libretto, and Emerson Eads' wonderful music. It's just breathtaking music. And then as a third entire storytelling effort is the choreography that the dance element in this is really, really marvelous. You know, we're working with two dance companies, the Juno Dance Theater and the LA Contemporary Dance Company. So those three elements are all existing, telling the story, not always in total sync with each other in this one environment.
Last night was the dress rehearsal or first dress. How did that go for the three of you? Well, how did it go for everybody? But what was your take?
It was wonderful.
It was a knockout. It was an absolute knockout.
We're trying for the first time really to have everything on stage and working. We've just newly been introducing the stage lighting, the projections, the dancers, and the chorus and the singers have been working on this, well, all of us, for a long time, but it's just now coming together in one place.
It's the first time I got to see my pictures blowing up and what Greg had done to them, and some of them look so much better than they are. Others are wonderful, but I'm not talking myself down here. I'm just saying it was wonderful to see them the size of a billboard and to hold their clarity, and then the artistic sort of things that Greg did that helps them, that aids them.
How do you feel about it, Greg?
Oh, it was so exciting. You know, we all work in a siloed way for a while. We see each other's work, but the dancers are doing work on stage, or the singers are performing, or we might be setting some light cues. Last night was the first dance we put it all together, and nobody quite knows how well it will work or how it will look until you do that. So it can be a really daunting and scary thing to, once Todd picks up the baton and conducts, it just runs straight through. You can't stop and fix anything. And it was wonderful. It was beautiful and exhilarating to see all of the work come together and how well and in sync it all was. And I think part of that was because we spent so much time planning and talking about it, and the way our workflows all came together in the early process made the beauty of what happened last night all the more special and stunning to see.
As you mentioned, you're being siloed away, your workflows. This is a production of many collaborations with artists and groups that are in a few different places. And there's a lot of remote communication involved, I imagine. And so for the first time last night, many of you were probably in the room together for the first time. How did that method work for your trio here?
This is the nicest bunch of people I've ever worked with. Mostly artists work in rooms by themselves, and this is involvement of at least 30 people, but the nicest 30 people I've ever had a chance to work with.
Were there logistical challenges trying to work with Dan while you were in L.A.?
Well, not with Dan specifically, because Dan did his paintings, then they were photographed and sent to me, so I could see what he was up to, and I could work with manipulating them and come up with ideas and send them back. I think there's never a substitute for having everyone in the same room together. The collaboration is so much easier when we can all be in the same space working the whole time, but it's just not possible. These days, with internet communication, with video conferencing, with email, the ability for example, us to send drawings back and forth from the set and the projections, or the person doing the super titles and saying, how will that interfere with the projected image? By doing that in drawings that we can send in an instant, it's not terribly difficult to do that work, though you don't have the joy of being in the same room and scribbling on a piece of paper with a pen that you might have. However, it's I think the reality of this age when we are doing projects in far-flung places, and the only way to do it is to send things through the internet.
Well, it sounds like it worked well for you three and also for the production as a whole. So that's very impressive. All right, we're going to take a short break, and listeners can go online to ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon to see pictures of Dan, Jim, and Greg in action working on their respective parts. We'll talk more about that when we return. You're listening to Juno Afternoon.